MLM Nation, episode 37.
You always want to implant empowering insights and information in your consciousness. That is what's going to make the big difference, because you guys have all heard of, you know, being in the right place at the right time. Well, I can tell you that it's possible to be at the right place at the right time and still not make any money, because if you don't have the right consciousness, you're not going to take the right actions to get the right results from being in the right place at the right time.
If you want to be successful, you just have to copy what MLM leaders do. Welcome to MLM Nation, presented by your host, Simon Chaz. Where you'll learn strategies, secrets, and inspiring stories from today's top MLM income earners.
MLM Nation, this is Simon Chan, and we have a really special show today. We have one of the MLM legends, and also one of the most famous network marketing trainers, Jerry DeRhino Clark. Jerry, like the way you say it. Jerry, are you ready to go, go, go?
Simon, I am ready to go, 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 and it's great to be on your show, MLM Nation.
Thanks to network marketing, Jerry Clark became a self-made millionaire while still in his 20s. Today, through his company Club Rhino Incorporated, he conducts personal and professional development seminars around the world. And it's a real honor to have Jerry Clark on MLM Nation today, because he was one of the guys that really taught me a lot when I first got started in network marketing. Before I made the millions of dollars in network marketing and have the lifestyle I had today, I was just like many of you, an inexperienced distributor of no skills, but I would go out there and seek out good MLM training. And one of the programs that really helped me out was Jerry's training called The Magic of Colors. And aside from The Magic of Colors, Jerry Clark has also produced over 100 audio programs for the network marketing profession. His training products are used by dozens of direct selling companies worldwide, and his articles have appeared on numerous publications. So Jerry, I've given MLM Nation just a brief intro, but please share more about your background and how you came across network marketing.
Well, I'm going to make it the Reader's Digest version for everybody, because I can go on and on and on with my story and telling people how I got started. But, you know, the bottom line is a friend of mine, I mean, I got started inadvertently, so to speak, because a friend of mine had came across this booklet as he was sitting in his office in a military base. Right after high school, he went to work for the military. He joined the military, and I went to college. And throughout life, because I had known this guy since we were 12 or 13 years old, I had these big dreams when I was a kid, and I would always tell him about it. Say, man, Anthony, I'm going to be successful one day. I'm going to buy a big house one day. I'm going to have fancy cars one day. I'm going to do all these things. And Anthony would always say, yeah, okay, whatever, right? And so one day when we graduated from high school, I went to college, because I was on the path to go to college, get a good education so I can get a good job and make all this money. And that's, you know, the process and the recipe that we've been taught. And he went and joined the military. So he called me up. He said, Jerry, I found this booklet in this in a drawer here where I work on this military base. And man, I think you might be interested in it. And I said, well, why do you think I might be interested in it? And he said, because the name of it is, it has to do with the financial independence and all that. And I said, man, this sounds interesting. I said, well, give me the book. So he gave me this little booklet. And it turns out this booklet was written by a guy who owns a network marketing company. Now, I didn't know that. I had no idea. I just remember seeing the name on a building that I drove past every day on my way to college. And so I stopped in there and I asked the lady who was sitting there. I said, ma'am, I got this booklet. I see it's written by this guy. It's the same name on the building. So I figured you guys may have more books. And she said, oh, you want more books? I said, yes, I want more books and audios too, if you have them. And she said, well, you don't know what we do, do you? And I said, well, not really. I guess you sell books. She said, well, why don't you come back here and meet this guy named Ray? So she took me into this little office. This 29-year-old Hispanic guy was sitting behind a desk, and he had these plaques all on the wall, and it said $20,000 for the month of May, $22,000 for the month of June, $24,000 for the month of July. And I looked at those plaques, and I asked Ray, I said, Ray, you guys are selling a lot of books in here, huh? And Ray laughed at me. He said, no, we're not selling books. I said, well, what's all that? He said, those were my bonus checks for the month. I said, what? You're making over $20,000 a month? And Ray said, yeah. I said, man, what are you guys doing? He said, you really don't know what we do, huh? I said, no, I don't know. He said, well, what are you doing tomorrow at 7 p.m.? And that's him inviting me to come to a business briefing. And I had no idea what he was, you know, trying to say. I was like, what am I doing tomorrow at 7? He was like, yeah, I want to share with you everything that we're doing so you can see what we're up to. And I said, well, I'm going to be here, man. 7 o'clock? Yes, I'll be here. So I showed up at 5 o'clock. I think it was the earliest I had ever been to anything. And I was so excited. And I saw them do a business presentation. It was my first time being exposed to this concept of network marketing, MLM. I had no idea what it was all about. I didn't believe what they were talking about because they got up there and started talking about how they're making all this money. And I thought it was a lie and it was a scam. And it's like, this can't be true. And all this stuff was going through my mind. But out of courtesy, I stayed throughout the whole presentation. And then I went up to Ray and I confronted him at the end of it. I said, Ray, I can't believe you guys got the nerve to sit here and lie to people. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, man, you know this is not true. And he said, yeah, of course it's true. And I said, listen, I don't believe it's true, but if half of it is true, I want in. And I said, if you can guarantee me that half of what you guys were saying is true, I want in on this because this sounds interesting. And Ray laughed. He said, okay, sure, I'll teach you. And basically, that was my start. I was 19 years old, and I was just so excited. And I just followed what Ray had to share. And I was able to produce great results. Within a year, I was at a six-figure income myself.
Wow. What were some of the things that – obviously, you had a great mentor. Ray worked with you. What were some of the things he taught you when you first got started?
So what Ray taught me initially as I first got started, some of the key things I think that was very beneficial is he basically, you know, said, okay, do you want to make a lot of money or do you want to make a little money? And I said, I want to make a lot of money. And he said, do you want to do it fast or do you want to do it slow? And I said, are these trick questions? I mean, I want to do it fast, of course. And then Ray taught me, he said, well, the way this business works is that if you talk to nobody, you're not going to make any money. And I said, well, that's not what I'm interested in. He said, if you talk to somebody, then you're going to make some money. He said, but you told me you want to make lots of money. Is that still true? I said, yes. He said, well, the key to making lots of money in this business, you got to talk to lots of bodies. So you got to talk to lots of people. So he kind of set it up, just sharing with me the importance of talking to lots of people, letting me understand that not everybody is going to be interested, letting me understand that it's okay that not everyone is going to be interested. He gave me a lot of analogies and examples of why it's okay in the realm of business for not everyone to be interested in what you have to offer. He even gave me the McDonald's example. He said, for example, the number one hamburger place in the world is what? And I said, McDonald's. I guessed it properly. He said, yes. He said, but do you realize out of all the people that walk past McDonald's, how many people say no? I said, no, I don't know how many people say no. He says about 80%, over 80% of the people who walk past McDonald's who want a hamburger, do not get it from McDonald's. So McDonald's has about 18% yes rate. And I was like, wow. He said, so there's a lot less people getting McDonald's than there are getting, but the ones that are getting are enough for McDonald's to become a multi-billion dollar organization. And I was shocked. I was like, man, that's interesting. He said, so if you want to create everything you want in life, you don't have to have everyone to say yes in this business, about this business. And the people that say no, it's okay for them to say no. There's nothing wrong with them. They're okay people. They are making the decision based on where they are and what they feel would be appropriate for them. And just understand that not everyone is going to say yes, and that's okay. And once that sunk in, he told me about it. I didn't really fully understand it. But it took a few months and then it started to sink in. And once it sunk in, it made life a lot easier for me. Because I think one of the biggest challenges that people have in this business is, you know, really just getting caught up and thinking everyone should say yes, or, you know, having a problem when people say no and people don't want to do it and they start having panic attacks and anxiety attacks and all this other stuff, and they start being hesitant on moving out and talking to people and so forth. They start holding back. And I think it's one of the biggest mistakes that people make, and it's because they simply don't understand how to respect the numbers. So that's what Ray taught me. He said, look, you got to learn how to respect the numbers. And once he explained it and gave me the analogies of looking at big business and how these companies are multi-billion dollar companies with most people saying no to them for their products and services, then I started to understand a little bit more. He said, all these people say no to them, but they don't sit out there and cry over it. they keep offering the services and products and understanding that some people are going to say yes. And the people who it's for, they're going to say yes, they're going to move forward, and you're going to be able to give them value, and it's going to be a great situation for everybody.
That's a great analogy about the McDonald's, because you're right. Most people walk by there, don't go in there. When you started at 19, you said, right?
Yep.
19. I guess a lot of people walk past you, right, because you're 19. Like, how many people would believe a 19-year-old kid? Did you have to go through that?
Well, you know what? It's interesting, Simon, because I went through what I went through. So what I'm saying is that I went through the numbers just like everyone else. Now, did I have greater numbers because I happened to be 19 years old? I'm not sure, to be honest with you. And then let me tell you the reason why. And I think this is another big problem with people. If people think that being 19 is going to be a problem, then it will be more of a problem for them. Whereas for me, I never thought being 19 was going to be a problem. So I don't even recall having much of a problem as a result of my age, simply because I did not even think that that would be a problem. Now, let me tell you why I had got built in my subconscious that it wasn't a problem being young. I got started in martial arts when I was 13 years old. And I started teaching martial arts when I was 15. And I got my black belt, you know, by the time I was 18, I was a black belt and so forth. So I was teaching between, you know, 15 and 18. I did a lot of teaching. And then I started teaching in college when I graduated from high school. I went to college and I taught martial arts at college. And so with that several years of experience of people coming to me for instruction, and the way martial arts works is a series of respect and edification, things like that. So people had to come to me and say, Mr. Clark, sir. So I'm 15 years old and I have a 40-year-old guy coming up to me saying, Mr. Clark, sir, and bowing to me. And so I think that probably assisted me. And when I got started in network marketing, I did not think that age should be a problem simply because, you know, I was already in a position of authority, and people who were twice and three times and four times my age were coming to me for instruction and treating me with lots of respect and so forth. So the age wasn't a problem for me. Nevertheless, I believe for people who believe it should be a problem, it will be a problem for them.
Yeah, I love it. It's all about, I guess, like Napoleon Hill talks about, think and grow rich, right? It all starts with your thoughts. And if you think people are not going to, it's just self-talk. If you think people are not going to join in, that's what you attract.
And, exactly.
You know, I listened to a lot of your audios. I listened to so many of them. It really helped me get to, especially the first couple of years. And I remember one story that was very motivating. Actually, now that I have two boys, I was like, I'll share with you before, Jerry. It actually gave me ideas how to raise my kids. Mm. So, and you talked about that since you were young. I remember one time you and your brother were in a beat up car that your mom was driving, and you saw someone with a really nice car that, you know, and then you decided from there, then you had like a paper route, and then you create your own paper route business. Mm-hmm. I found that story really inspiring. Can you just share with that really quickly?
Sure. Yeah. So it was the first time that I really saw this particular fancy car in real life. I had saw it on TV. I thought maybe it was something fake or whatever. But I was driving down the freeway with my mother one day and saw this beautiful car pass by. And I was like, Mom, you know, what kind of car is that? And she said it was a Mercedes-Benz. And I was like, what? A Mercedes? I was like, why come we don't have one, right? And so I was curious, wondering why we didn't have a Mercedes, why this guy was looking very comfortable driving in this car. And this is when my mom gave me the secret to success. She said, look, this guy, you know, more than likely went to college, got a good education and all this stuff. So that's what started to program my mind to do that, you know, go to college, get a good education and all that. So that's what started that process. But it also got me thinking about, okay, well, maybe at this second, I'm not going to drive around a Mercedes because I don't have a license or anything else. And plus, you know, I got to come up with some money somehow. And I started thinking, how can I start generating money? How can I start doing that? And there was two reasons that got me thinking about that. Number one, you know, thinking that, of course, it's going to cost money to get this type of thing. So at that age, I didn't have any money going on. And that is one of the things that really got me motivated to expand my newspaper route, because I had a newspaper route already. And after that experience, I started to expand it. What I mean by that is I started to get additional routes, and I started to teach younger kids who weren't old enough to get their own route. I started to teach them how to do these routes of mine. And so I had these other kids. At one point, I had like eight different paper routes. And I had eight different kids doing these paper routes for me, or probably 10 because they would rotate sometimes, doing these paper routes for me. And I would just sit back and collect the money every single month. And then I would pay them a portion of what I earned, and I would get the rest. So I actually had like a paper route conglomerate going on. As a young kid, I was making several hundred dollars a month, you know, and so forth. And it was great. But, you know, from you know, as far as that whole story is concerned, you know, and it, of course, it's a lot deeper and so forth. But the bottom line is that I got compelled and excited to see what could be possible if I allow myself to apply myself and move forward and take action. And so I start thinking a little bit more like an entrepreneur, so to speak. I start thinking about things that I can do to generate money at a young age that was legal, and started engaging those type of things. And I do believe that that really assisted me as far as just the whole mentality of things later on in life.
Jerry, thank you so much for sharing that, because that story really inspired me and actually gave me ideas on how to be a parent, because I don't want my kids to be lazy. I was telling my wife, I want my kids to be like Jerry Clark, you know, starting that paper route. And how old were you when you had that conglomerate going?
Well, I started my first paper route when I was 9. I saw that Mercedes when I was about 10 and a half or so. So about a year and a half later. And then I started developing more paper routes by the time I was 11, 12 years old. And by the time I was 16, it was the maximum where I had, you know, eight or nine or so paper routes. And they were good sized routes too. So they were good sized routes. And I had all these kids doing them for me. So it was a great situation.
I love it. You are a true entrepreneur. I really love that story. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, no problem.
Now I wanted to take you to another part of your journey where, because you were talking about your successes, but take us back to one of your worst moments in network marketing where you kind of probably maybe even hated the business or you wanted to quit, but somehow you kept going. And then what were the lessons you learned from that? And what did you do with those lessons?
Yes, I would say probably some of the worst moments happened early on, actually. It happened during the time that I got taught about the whole respecting the numbers concept to the point that I finally got it. So in between that phase, which was several months, it was probably some of the toughest moments. Because here's what happened, Simon, is we first get started in the business, we because we're excited. You know, we saw something, it kind of, you know, really touched on our dreams, sparked our dreams or something like that. And we're pumped up and so forth. We believe that the products or services that the company is offering is something of value. We believe that almost anybody would want to save money and get those products or use the products to get the benefits of the products or services. So we kind of believe that, you know, we're all excited. That's why we got started. And so once we start talking to people and we find out that not everyone is excited about our opportunity as we are, you know, that could be deflating. I mean, it can get people down. And I think that's what it did for me, because I thought everyone would be excited about this. And I couldn't believe when people were having a problem with it. I just couldn't believe it. And it was probably one of the toughest times for me. And like I said, it only happened for a few months until I was able to really get the understanding. That's the reason why Ray truly taught me about the numbers and understanding the numbers and you know, told me how, look, this is really not personal. This is the reason why. I mean, I can go into probably a 45-minute conversation just on what he really taught me. I mean, because he really taught me some very valuable lessons about how to view the situation. And it was not just verbal. It was something that he did in regards to the way he taught that allowed synapses in my brain to start firing in a different way to where I really truly got it. And that was the thing that made the big difference. And so, you know, but that was probably the worst time for me, is seeing people who I knew had dreams, they were excited and they wanted to accomplish something. And then they just allow themselves to pass up an opportunity that can do everything they say they want, and then see that they don't have any other options available for them right now. And they just go on being average and ordinary in life. And most of them are still average and ordinary in life. And that was, 28 years ago or so.
Now, tell us a story in your journey. Aside from the going through the numbers and the McDonald's analogy, was there another like an aha moment or light bulb moment throughout your career in network marketing?
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest aha moments that really popped up for me that I can remember that was transformative for me was it was a time when I was actually, I guess you can consider myself a leader. I mean, I was generating, you know, a six-figure income. I was probably about 20 years old or so at the time, and I had a team. I was training the team, and we were doing trainings on a weekly basis, and then we were doing more extensive trainings on a monthly basis and so forth. So all this was happening. Everything was going pretty good, I guess. And the one thing that was a big challenge for me at the moment was that I noticed that a lot of people would want to come and learn how to do the business, and we had all kinds of training to teach them how to do it, but then a lot of them still wouldn't do it. It's like, okay, you want to learn how to do it. We're teaching you how to do it. Every weekend we teach you for 4 hours. We have a four-hour training teaching you all about the how-tos and how to do it. And then once a month, we added a once-a-month training where we turn it into a two-day training. So we're going to do 4 hours every week for 3 weeks, you know, three Saturdays. And then the fourth Saturday, we're going to do a two-day training, make it Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to spend a whole weekend going over all the how-tos, you know, and making sure that you know how to do this business. We're going to do role-playing. We're going to do everything. And, you know, I thought this was it. That was the secret. This is all people need to know. And I still realized that a lot of people would come and learn all this stuff, and they still wouldn't apply it. They would apply it a little bit, and then they'll stop. They apply a little bit, they'll stop. They'll come back, and so forth. And I was getting very frustrated. And then one day, I went to Stanford University. Now, I didn't attend Stanford University as a student, but I had a good friend who went to Stanford University, so I would go up there and visit her every now and then. And so when I was at Stanford University, strolling through the halls and so forth, I saw this down the psychology department. There was one of the professors had an open, open door policy, so to speak. And he had open hours, office hours, during this particular time. All you had to do is sign in your name, and you can come in there for 15 minutes a shot and talk to this guy and ask him whatever you want. And so I saw there was a spot open, and even though I wasn't a student, I put my name there, and I went and visited this guy, and I told this guy, I said, look, I don't want to talk about any scholastic activities. I said, I do have a question for you, since you are a psychologist, and I knew he happened to be one of the world's foremost psychologists, because I've seen some of his books and things like that. So I knew he was very successful, very popular in the world, not just in Stanford University. So anyway, so I told him, I said, here's what's going on. I have a business, you know, and, you know, in my business, and I told him how, you know, it's direct sales, network marketing. He said he knows a little bit about it, but not much. And I basically went through the whole thing, telling him what my problem was, right? And he said, okay, Jerry, I see what you're saying here. He said, let me ask you a question. He said that people, when they get started with you, they want to make a big shift and they want to make a change. Nevertheless, you teach them what to do and they're not doing it. I said, yeah, you pretty much got it. He said, okay, now here's what I'm going to share with you. He said that I want you to understand that change occurs when there is an alteration in beliefs. And I was like, okay. And he said that most people would never make a change because they never take the time to examine their existing beliefs and make any deliberate shifts to it. I said, okay. And he said, so the solution is to learn how to implant empowering beliefs and philosophies in people's subconscious minds without them knowing you're doing it. I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? And so he went and explained. He actually went over 15 minutes and explained a little bit more to me. And then eventually he found out that I wasn't a student. But I asked him if I can still pay him for consulting. And so he allowed me to pay him for consulting. So I ended up going to this guy and talking to him on a regular basis. I paid him a lot of money over a period of time. But what he taught me was basically allowed me to basically change the way that I trained my organization. Because most of the training that I was doing for my organization was all the technical know-how, was all the how-to stuff. I thought that's all they need to know. He basically taught me that you want to shift some of this training to allow the internal communication to be impacted. In other words, the mindset of the people who are in the audience, you want that to be shifted. You want their perspectives to change. You want them to be able to see things in a different light, because once they do that, all the other stuff is going to work out. And I started to make all those shifts, and he was right. He was right. 3 years later, I became a millionaire because of that. So all I'm saying is that that was a big aha for me, was that 80% of the training I was doing was all technical know-how. I changed it around to where I had about 80% of the training I was doing was the internal communication and the external communication, communication type skills and so forth. And the other 20%, 15 to 20% really, was the technical know-how. And things start to work a lot better. People start taking more action on actually performing the things that they already knew. It's just that they couldn't get themselves to do it. But by making this shift, it allowed me to share information, insights with them that allowed them to gain more confidence and clarity and courage. And they were able to go out there and take more action. And I noticed the numbers picked up all across the board. And it was awesome.
That was such an inspiring story. Thank you for sharing that. Not just the fact that you talked about changing the beliefs, but I just like the fact that you went up to the guy even though you weren't a student. You know, like, and I think it goes back to the beliefs. A lot of times, like, oh, what's going to happen? I'm going to get thrown out. He's going to get angry at me, right? But, like, just go in there. I think a lot of times people just miss out on opportunities in life because they basically talk themselves out of it. But you, that didn't let you stop you. And that's, I think that's awesome. I really...
Yeah, and I could have played dumb, right? I mean, if I would have went there and signed up, and the first question he asked me, if he would have said, "Are you a student at Stanford University?" If he would have said that, I would have had to say no. But he didn't ask me that, and it didn't say it on his sign up chart. You have to be a student of Stanford University. It just said, "Hey, if you got any questions, and there's an opening here, go ahead and sign up." And, well, I had questions. There was an opening. I signed up.
Right, because there's no sign that's a Stanford students only. So, but most people will, you know, in their imagination will create things that actually hold them back. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. It's only for Stanford only. But you didn't do that. So thank you for sharing. That was very inspiring.
Not a problem.
What would be your most proudest moment in network marketing?
My proudest moment in network marketing is really in developing all the leaders that I've developed and being able to see their lives change. You know, seeing a guy who was in the Navy, was making barely $2,000 a month, you know, come into the business, transform his life, be able to create some financial independence for himself and family, being able to assist a single mother of three children who didn't have any business experience whatsoever, get started in this business. Now she's a multimillionaire. She has houses in Europe and in the United States and was able to, you know, do the things she wanted to do when I first met her. You know, just being able to assist all these people who, many of them, they have no business of being massively successful. You would have never thought they were going to be massively successful, and they were able to become massively successful. And that's really making a big impact, and I feel really good about that. You know, just I can sit here for 45 minutes, tell you story after story after story, just off people whose lives have been changed dramatically as a result of some of the teachings and the coaching and the assisting and the leadership developing that I was able to do with them. And so I'm very proud, very proud of that.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Well, you can add me to the list of people that you've developed and helped. You know, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have the time to do MLM Nation, to spend time with my, I mean, I just came back from taking my 1.5-year-old Brendan to baby gym. And I was like the only dad there. It's like 9 moms. And I'm like the only dad there, right?
Awesome.
And I wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for you. And I shared the things that really inspired. I've listened to so much. I think all leaders, they just go out and like devour self-development. Like they're starving. And I went out there, just got everything. And so I don't know what program it was, Magic Colors or something, but I remember a couple of things. Number one was that story about you. You know, you grew up in a poor family, your mom in a beat-up car, you sold a Mercedes. And I was like, wow, this guy, Jerry, if he grew up poor like that, he could do it. Hey, I could do it. And I you know, my parents, I didn't have time with my dad, but my dad kind of, you know, achieved the American dream. He made his money, big house, 3 Mercedes, you know, but he never had time for us. So I was like, I grew up way more fortunate than Jerry. If he could do it, hey, I could do it. Mm. And the second story I remember was, and this is crazy because, you know, Jerry, you're such a great storyteller. And ML Nation, if you're listening to this, play this episode over and over again. Just listen to how Jerry tells stories, the details. I mean, the story about the professor. He's so good at it. So this was a story you told, and I don't remember again which training program it was. It was about 9/11, right? Like, I think everyone remembers where 9/11 was. And I think one training you said you were playing basketball when 9/11 happened in Dallas.
Right.
And now, don't ask me why I remember that, but it's just imprinted in my mind, right? And I'm like, wow, 9/11, I was working my butt off. I remember for most Americans, we're at work, we're sleeping. If you're in the East Coast, we're working. And I was like, I was working. But this guy's playing basketball, and basketball was my life. I was like, this guy has the dream. And he went from poor, being a beat-up Carvin's mom, to playing basketball, and when everyone else is working, say, hey, I got to be like this guy. And actually, that's where I went out and got more audios and training. So thank you for impacting my life. Really appreciate
it. Awesome. That's awesome, Simon. You're welcome. That's awesome.
Now I'm going to ask you about, since you've been in the industry for so long, what's the one thing that excites you the most about network marketing right now?
Well, the one thing that excites me about network marketing right now, I mean, to be quite frank with you, are people like you, because, I hear these stories over and over and over again. And when I say people like you, I'm talking about people that I've had a chance to impact, even though I didn't really realize I impacted, but they let me know later. And there are so many people like you who that has been the case. And I hear from them occasionally here and there. And that makes me know that there are so many more that never reach out to let me know. And the reason why that's exciting is because I know that I'm not the only person that's making an impact. There's a lot of other people out there making an impact. There's a lot of other people making a difference. There's a lot of other people impacting people. And what this tells me is that the dream is alive for people to be able to go from where they are to where they really want to be. And they can use this vehicle of network marketing, as that vehicle that can allow them to have this transformative impact on their lives. And so just the whole possibility of transformation is, I would say, the thing that really is the most exciting for me, or that really I'm so excited about. It's just seeing that network marketing is all about transformation, and the possibility of transformation is powerful.
Do you see that it's easier now than when you first started? Like, people are more open to network marketing?
I would say yes, definitely. Just because, the industry has been around a lot longer. More people from different respected professions are in the business. More attorneys, more engineers, more doctors, and all this are in a profession. Most people probably know someone that's in the industry. Yes, it's had a longer time for some more people to mess up to and cause some problems. But overall, I see that more people are more open. And a lot of it, too, is because of the economy, how things have been going. When the economy is down, people get a little bit more open anyway. And so that, combined with seeing the many professional people get involved in this industry and treat it as a profession, has definitely been assisting the industry as a whole.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jerry, as we get to the towards the end of the show, some really quick questions, about you and your habits, what made you successful. What is one of your favorite success quotes that you like that has motivated you?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of success quotes. There's one by, what's his name? He was the founder of IBM, Thomas J. Watson. And I remember Thomas Watson, he said something that was pretty profound. He said, would you like for me to give you the formula for success? He said, it's quite simple, really. Double your failure rate. He said, you're thinking of failure as the enemy of success, but it isn't at all. You can be discouraged by failure, or you can learn from it. So go ahead and make mistakes. Make all you can. Because remember, that's where you'll find success, on the far side of failure.
And that
was very powerful for me, because there's a lot of people that, they kind of tippy-toe through network marketing, or they tippy-toe through whatever it is. The whole point is, whatever you want to commit to, get yourself all up in it. And it's okay if it doesn't, if you do something that doesn't work out, because this is a very forgiving industry. So if you make a mistake, you're going to learn something from it. And so allow yourself to, instead of saying, I'm not going to make any mistakes, those are the people that are hesitant. Those are the people who don't take massive action. Those are the people who don't go on blitzes. Those are the people who don't create the momentum required to produce the results now. And so that's why that's very powerful.
What is one habit that has helped you become successful?
I would say pretty easily the habit of learning and contemplating on what I've learned and putting into action some of those things that I've learned. And those, I guess, three things are all kind of combined as one, so to speak. I mean, because you, it's one thing if you just learn it, but if you don't never do anything with what you learn, it's not going to make that much of a difference. So I learn, I reflect on some of the things that I've learned, and then I put into action. And I actually notice a lot of people who are very successful, they do something very similar.
Jerry, if someone's going to ask you, what's the best piece of advice you ever got, what would you say?
Oh, the best piece of advice I ever got. Wow. I got this advice from a guy who was worth about $300 million. I got a chance to spend a month with him and his wife. We flew to different parts of the world, including Europe and Africa and so forth. And I got a chance to ask this guy all kinds of questions. And this was back in a time when I wasn't making a tremendous amount of money. I was in my early 20s. I was making some money, but not a tremendous amount of money. And this guy was worth $300 million. So one of the things he told me, he said, Jerry, I noticed you asking a lot of questions about wealth and about prosperity and so forth. He said, that's good. He said, that's great. He said, I'm basically going to give you three pieces of advice in regards to wealth and generating, you know, the prosperity that you seek. And he basically said, I want you to understand there's three types of money, and you're going to have to deal with all of them in order to, you know, set yourself up. He said the first type of money or income is called active income. And he said active income is the type of income that you got to go out there and work and get paid. So you got to actually go out there and expend your energy, your insight and so forth, your effort. And there's a direct correlation between you doing that and generating money. That's called active income. So that's like having a job or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. He said there's, you know, people that have that and so forth, and that's one part of income. He said the second type of income is what we call passive income. He said passive income is the type of income where you do a lot of work, and at first it seems like nothing is coming back. You put a lot more work in, and it seems like nothing is coming back. But eventually, because of the structure of the wealth-generating vehicle you are utilizing, if it taps into the power of passivity, you know, in other words, passive income, you can start generating passive income. That's the income that eventually comes in even when you're not going in anymore. So it's kind of like what you've done, Simon, in your network marketing business. You put in a lot of energy and effort initially, and now you've developed a six-figure income that comes in on a passive basis, even though you only put in about 30 minutes a month or so in the organization. So that's called passive income. And this is a beautiful type of income to have. Everyone who's listening is going to want to have it, because what he told me is that eventually you're going to want to stop going in to get the income. So eventually you're going to want to stop doing the active income. So that's why passive income is important. So make sure you set yourself up like that. Then he said the third type of income is the type of income that you should really be striving for. He said it's called portfolio income. He said portfolio income is the type of income where your money is actually making money from the money. In other words, you don't have to go in and make the money anymore. The money is working to make money for you. So that's when you put your money to work. So that's when you have enough money that you've been able to invest and put aside based on the active and the passive income you've been generating to develop a portfolio. And the goal, and then he really broke it down, he said the goal is to create enough earnings from that portfolio to where the portfolio income will take care of you for the rest of your life without you ever having to do and worry about generating any active or passive income again if you didn't want it, because the passive income is really going to come from the portfolio. And I was like, wow, that is powerful. And that really got me thinking. And actually, right when I got back home from that trip with him, that 1 month trip with him and his wife, that's when I actually went and started establishing my first portfolio. And I established my first brokerage accounts. I established some investment strategies as far as, okay, here's what I'm going to do in the real estate market. Here's what I'm going to do, you know, in the stock market. Here's what I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of started to experiment, so to speak, because I did make some mistakes and lost some money and did all this stuff. But eventually I started to crack the code on how to pull this off. And it was probably one of the biggest pieces of advice for a person, especially my age back then, to really get if you got it. If you get it but don't get it, then it's not going to make any difference. But it made a big, big difference for me.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, because money management is basically, you got, you know, Jerry just shared with you, MLM Nation, how to get wealthy. And money management is not something that a lot of MLM leaders teach. I mean, everyone knows about number one, active, and they get number two. But number three, the portfolio income, is why I see it's missing to a lot of people. And
right.
As long as if you don't have that portfolio income, you're still kind of working or a little bit struggling. The real freedom comes from the number three that you talked about, Jerry.
Right. And that's he taught me that that's a whole training in and of itself. And, you know, obviously I'm just touching on the basic points that he told me, but I want everyone to understand that we spent hours talking about this stuff. So, for example, just the portfolio income, he got into sharing with me a different mix of portfolio income. How do you want to set your portfolio up? He talked about there's conservative investments, there's moderate investments, and then there's aggressive investments. He taught me what the difference were. He taught me what the mix of percentages that I want to have based on my age. I mean, man, this guy went into a whole big, I mean, it would be great if he actually had a training program, because he gave me a whole training program basically. So, yeah. So, you're absolutely right. It's something that's worthy of learning, though.
If a distributor is going to ask you what type of prospecting tool they should use, what would you recommend? Like, should they use a newsletter? Should they use webinar, videos, one-on-one, home meetings, DVDs? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, all of the above, really. I mean, the one thing that I would say to any person who's looking for prospecting tools or what they should use is I would say, number one, look at what company you're in, and more than likely it's somewhere within your line of sponsorship. You can figure out who's the most successful people in your company, find out what they're doing, find out what they're utilizing, you know, and really model what they're up to, because there's all sorts of things. Some people focus on the social media and use the different social media strategies. Some people use more, you know, online strategies to generate leads. Some people are really using the warm market approach in a big way still. Some people are using, I mean, there's just so many different, you know, things that people can use. What are you going to do? Video marketing, you do article marketing, you're going to do blogging, you're going to do guest forum visits, you're going to buy leads, and then how you communicate with those leads, or are you going to contact just professionals? Are you going to focus on that? Well, here's a way that you can do that. I mean, there's so many different ways to really do that. Is I would really say you want to really see if you can hook up with someone that is already producing results. They're getting a perpetual flow of leads, and they're in your company producing results. You see them getting the rewards all the time. They're making the money and all this. Those are people you want to reach out to, see if you can connect with. Hopefully, they're in your line of sponsorship somewhere, because they're going to have a vested interest in making sure you understand those approaches. And just plug into, you know, some of those approaches that they're doing, and that's really what I would do.
Now, you're a very successful entrepreneur, businessman. Do you have a favorite app or online resource that you could recommend?
I mean, I do use apps. And see, I'm going to bust out with my handy iPhone right now, my iPhone 6 Plus, and see what I have sitting here on the front page. So right on the front page, the apps are typically the apps that I use the most. So I have my cloud drive apps like Dropbox, Google Drive, and so forth. And let me tell everyone why this is powerful. You know, I waited for so long to get Dropbox, for example. And then they had a 1 terabyte for like $99. I couldn't resist it anymore. this is cheap, man. This is awesome. Wow. I got to learn how to use it. But let me tell you what it does. For a person like me, and most people who are listening to MLM Nation here, you're just like me. In other words, you're really into personal development, professional development. That's why you're listening to Simon and the information he's bringing and the people and the professionals he's bringing and so forth. And so even though on my phone I have this 128 gig, I have the biggest one that they have out right now as far as space, I have so much audio. So I have like a $1 million library, literally. People think that that's exaggerating. It's not exaggerating. So I have like this $1 million library. I have all this content, all this information that I love to learn from. And 128 gig is just not going to work. It's not enough. So now I got 1 terabyte. Now I can put up to 1 terabyte of audios, videos, and so forth into Dropbox on my computer at home. And then when I'm out and about, I can access all that information right from this app on my phone without taking any of the 128 gigabyte of space. It's a beautiful thing. And now that streaming audio is cheaper and cheaper now, so most of, no matter what carrier you're with, you can actually get streaming audio. I have like 60 gigabyte a month or something sitting in some extraordinary amount that I don't even need for sure of streaming ability. You don't need to get that much. Trust me, most of you, 5 gigabytes a month or 10 might be good enough. But so that means that I can watch videos of the video trainings. I can watch, I can listen to audios. All that stuff is accessible right from my phone. So that's one reason how Dropbox is very powerful. Another app that I use quite a bit is called Notability. And Notability, I know it's available on iPhone. I'm not sure if it's available for the Android devices yet, but it is a great note-taking app. So I can take notes on it. I can organize my notes. I can have different segments. Like here's the MLM trainers. Here's the podcast notes from podcasts. Here's the notes from whatever, marketing notes and blah, blah, blah. And I have them all segmented, and I can carry all my notes with me, which is awesome. So instead of piling up all these notebooks all over the place, I got all these, I got all my notes to all the different programs I listen to that are right there on my phone, and I utilize this app called Notability. And another app that I'll share with you guys one more app. It's called Wunderlist. And Wunderlist is an app that allows you to create like a to-do list. What are some of the things you got to do for the day and so forth? And you can just plug it in there, and it allows you to be reminded and check off what you're done, and it allows you to create sub layers, and it allows you to even communicate and network with other people. So my wife and I, we have certain segments within Wunderlist where we network as it relates to our kids. So anything about our school, it automatically will, if I type in anything about school, then it automatically goes to my wife too, and vice versa. And it's just, it's a really great app. And I tell you, the free version is awesome. All you need is the free version. Now, I paid for the pro version, even though I don't really need it. It's just so good, I just had to pay the people. So, Wunderlist, Wunderlist. So those are three apps, Dropbox, Notability, and Wunderlist, that I would say are good apps for people.
Yeah, those are awesome. Thank you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Jerry, what's one book you could recommend to ML Nation?
Oh, my goodness. One book. Wow.
You want to cheat, you can add two or three.
Yeah, so here's what I can tell everyone. And for those of you who want a big list, you can just go to my website at clubrhino.com. And going to clubrhino.com, because I had so many people ask that question, Simon, I have there's a place on there. I think you can do a search or something. I'll tell you what, let's do it like this. This is easy. For anyone who's listening to MLM Nation, just go to clubrhino.com/MLMNation.html. So clubrhino.com/MLMNation.html. And the reason I have you, I'm going to create a special page just for your listeners to go to. So then I'm going to have a link that says the 50 books that changed my life. Because I have listed 50 top books that changed my life. And, you know, there are books like The Game of Life and How to Play It, you know, by Florence Shin. All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, But All You Can Do Is Enough by Arthur Williams. There's, of course, you got the, you're going to have the Think and Grow Riches, and you're going to have a few things like that. But you're going to have other books that you may have not heard of that you can look into now and be able to choose what you want to go ahead and plug into of all the books that really changed my life. So those are just a few, but I have 50 of them, and they're, you know, they're free. You can go and check it out. So I'm gonna make sure right when we finish here that I'm gonna have my assistant create a little page for all the people. And what I'll do too is all the people who are from MLM Nation, on that page there's gonna be a download, a link for them to download one of my audios. So I have them on, download a free audio. I'm going to, you know, access to a couple free articles and things like that.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for doing that. And MLM Nation, that website, the link that Jerry just gave you, we will have it on our website too. Just, if you want to, just go to MLMNation.net, search for Jerry, Jerry, J-E-R-Y. The show notes, a page will pop up, and then the link that Jerry gave you will be right there. Or you can go to clubrhino.com/MLMNation.html. So thank you for that. And MLM Nation, I know you love audios, podcasts. So if you haven't read it, you can get free audiobooks like the ones that Jerry talked about for free at MLMNationBook.com. That's MLMNationBook.com. All right, Jerry, we're wrapping up. Thank you so much for your valuable time. We're going a little longer, but I have to ask you this question before the million-dollar question, okay? That is, where did the name Rhino come from?
You know, that's a very good question, and I'm glad you brought it up because actually it's going to be one of the free things that I'm going to give your audience who go to MLMNation.net to search up Jerry or go to clubrhino.com/MLMNation.html because here's where the Rhino part came. Okay, so I believe that people who get started in network marketing, you're entering what I call the entrepreneurial jungle. So you're in the entrepreneurial MLM jungle. And in order to be successful, you got to make it through the jungle. You got to go through the other side. Now, to go through the other side, there's a lot of stuff in the jungle that's taking place. And a lot of things that are taking place in the jungle are things that are attempting to get you to leave the jungle, attempting to get you to go back to what I call the cow pastures. And the cow pastures is where everyone gets to be average and ordinary. And so if you want to not be average and ordinary, and if you want to be able to live life on your own terms and live your dreams, then it's going to be up to you to make it all the way through the jungle. Now, the only way you're going to do that is you got to be able to deal with all the adversity, the challenges, some of the tough things that's going to be happening while you're in the jungle. And so you're going to require thick skin. You got to have thick skin to make it through the jungle, the MLM jungle. And so the thick skin is the skin of the rhino. And that's kind of where the rhino part comes in. You got to have the skin of the rhino. So when someone says this won't work, this is illegal, it's a scam. You're going to another event. You've already been to some of the events. Oh, you're listening to another podcast. Oh, this Simon guy. Ah, you don't want to listen to that no more. All this stuff that people say, attempting to prevent you from making it through the jungle. You got to have that thick skin so it can just bounce off and you can keep charging so you can make it to your very own land of paradise. So that's pretty much where the rhino concept is coming from. And then one of the free audios that everyone's going to be getting is going to go into that in even more detail, but that's the basis of it. And by the way, it's the number one best-selling audio, sold over 1 million copies. A lot of people have benefited from it in about 35 to 50 countries.
Yeah, ML Nation, you definitely want to get that audio. That's one of the stuff that really motivated me. And you definitely don't want to go back to the cows because that's where they get slaughtered, right? So, Jerry, here's the million-dollar question. Ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Before we go to the million-dollar question, ML Nation, I know you want to grow your business, and I know you want to earn more income. So that's why I want to share with you something that will instantly help your business and increase your income. You already know the importance of sponsoring. And if you can't sponsor, the fact is you simply won't earn any real income in network marketing. Sponsoring is so important, and that's why I'm inviting you to a free training that will change your business forever. I want you to check out my free sponsoring workshop webinar, where you're going to learn how to invite more prospects, overcome the objections, and sponsor more distributors. You can register for this free training at www.sponsoringworkshop.com. Again, that's sponsoringworkshop.com. If you like these podcasts for ML Nation and these trainings, you'll find this free webinar even more helpful. This is the training that helped me earn over $1 million in MLM and give me the residual income so I can be a stay-at-home dad with my kids and also have the time to give back and produce these ML Nation podcast episodes for you. This is the training, the skills that helped me become successful in network marketing, and you're going to learn this at this free sponsoring workshop webinar. So here's some of the things you'll learn and get. You're going to get the first step you must take before you even talk to your contact list. You're going to discover the three type of prospects and how you must talk to them differently. Okay, not all prospects are the same. They're different. You also get my proven cold market scripts that will help you convert strangers into prospects. These are the things that helped me. I mean, I didn't sponsor 200 people in a year, but I sponsored over 80-something people in 1 year. How would your business grow if you sponsored 80 people in a year? You also learn how to get prospects to overcome the objections. So listen to your presentations. You know, an MLM objection, how to, you know, I don't have any money. So you're going to discover, you're going to learn all those things. And also, the best part is you get my famous six-figure close. so you can sign up prospects. And this is the same script, why it's a six-figure close, because I used it to sign up one of my party friends. This guy was a party animal, and I used that six-figure close, and he joined, and now he's a diamond director and earns me a six-figure passive income just from one person. And so you'll get the same six-figure close on this free webinar. So anyway, enough of what you learned. What you really need to do now is register right now or write this website down. It's at www.sponsoringworkshop.com. Okay, sponsoringworkshop.com. This free webinar is offered 3 different days. That's the cool part. This is 3 different days at 4 different times. So that anyone around the world, because I know ML Nation, you guys are global, you can listen to it. And even better, if you don't have the patience, you want it immediately, there's an option. If you go to sponsoringworkshop.com, there's an option to watch it now immediately. So you can watch it right now and learn. So start learning the skills that help me build a million-dollar MLM business and go to sponsoringworkshop.com. So look forward to seeing the training. So now you know about something that's going to help you. I have to share that with you. Let's go back to the show and to the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question. Imagine you were to start all over again, but you knew no one. So your contact list, your iPhone list is no one. But yet all your current knowledge, skills, and wisdom. What would be the first thing you would do to find prospects and build an MLM business from scratch?
Wow, that is a million-dollar question. And here's what I would tell everybody. Is even in that scenario that you just painted, and I'm going to tell everyone a secret here. This is a secret that has allowed me to create 8-figure results in life, multi 8-figure results. Now I'm gonna share this with you. Okay, it's a secret. A lot of people think that Jerry's just been brilliant in a lot of things because he's been able to create, you know, 7 figures in network marketing and investments and all these other different things combined, you know, multiple different industries. How's he been able to do that? And here's the secret. The secret is I don't act like I know how to do it. The secret is I find someone who's already done it. So when I wanted to get into real estate investing, for example, think about that. Real estate investing, totally different, has nothing to do with network marketing. But I wanted to get into real estate investing and I wanted to be successful at real estate investing. Guess what? I sought out people who were already very successful in real estate investing, and I sought out and I kind of segmented out the people who were doing real estate investing, but not the type I wanted to do. So I didn't want to do commercial real estate, so I wouldn't look for people that were successful at commercial real estate. I wanted people who were very successful in a specific type of real estate investing that I wanted to do. And I found those people, and I end up creating relationships with some of those people, and I end up getting trained and being able to model some of their strategies. And that is what allowed me to be able to create results as a real estate investor. Now, this is the same thing that happened when I wanted to get into training, the training industry. So when I wanted to go from being a network marketing distributor and focus on that to actually start training people around the world and so forth, I figured, you know, okay, so what type of training am I going to do? How am I going to allow myself to stand out? How am I going to allow myself to present ideas in a way that could be captivating for people to be able to get value from, and so forth. And so I did a little research and I just said, okay, instead of me trying to create this from scratch, I'm going to look at 3 different things. And here's what I did. I looked at 3 people who their delivery of the content was awesome. It's like, man, I love the delivery. What they had to say was good too, but the delivery of their content, I wanted to see if I can model some of what they're doing. So I picked 3 people. So I picked Les Brown, Tony Robbins, and Zig Ziglar. Those were the 3 people that I decided I was going to really learn from and train and just grab all the information they had so I could really gain insight from them. From the delivery, mostly. And then I looked at who is also successful in the training in arena that are they're very successful, but their delivery is not something to write home about. In other words, they don't have this fancy delivery. It's not a gregarious style. They just sit behind a podium pretty much and deliver content, pure content. But they have a big audience. They're impacting a lot of people, and people love them. They're making a lot of money doing it. Who are those people? And so I picked Napoleon Hill, Earl Nightingale, and Jim Rohn. Those are the 3 people I picked there. So I went out and bought all these people's information. I bought all their stuff, everything I can get my hands on. Back then, it was videotape, VHS, and audio tapes. and even records. I mean, go way back old school. And so I bought all this stuff, and I start studying. I start studying their content. I start studying what they're saying. I start studying the structure of their presentations. I start studying all of this stuff. The people that I wanted to see their delivery, I would watch the VHS of a Tony Robbins or a Zig Ziglar or a Les Brown, for example, and I would turn down the volume. So I wouldn't hear the volume. I just wanted to see their movements. I wanted to see what they were doing. And then I would lay down and I would turn off. I would not look at them, but I would just hear what they were saying, and I would listen for the audience response to certain things they were saying. And I would do all that stuff. I was like, how do they open an audio program? How do they open their program? So I would study their openings, just their openings. I wanted to study their openings to see if there was something that I could, a code that I can figure out. And what I'm saying is that I just modeled people that were producing results. I put a little blend and a mix of all these people. And then eventually, and maybe 1 week I would sound like this person. And the next week or month I would sound like that person. The next week or month I would sound, but eventually I started to sound like myself. I started creating my own little style that was kind of like a blend and a mixture of all this stuff. But so the point that I want everyone to understand is that if I was starting over from scratch, even though I have all this knowledge right now about the business, I feel very confident that you can drop me off anywhere, I can get started, and I can be successful. But one of the reasons I would be successful is because one of the first things I would do is look for the people that are producing the results that I want within that particular organization that I've decided to get started with. And I would make sure that I plug into them and their systems and so forth. And being that I have all this extra information, or maybe a couple little tweakings I can do at this point, nevertheless, I would almost just appear to be a brand new person just getting started, and I'm going to learn what these people know so I can get the results they're getting. And I feel that by doing that within 12 to 18 months in any organization, in any company, I can be one of the top producers in that company, making a very nice, at least six figure, and then within 3 years, making seven figures.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, as we wrap up, any last words or advice? And then what's the best way our listeners can connect with you?
Yeah, so I would say that the best way the listeners can connect is if they go to that link, because I'm going to have like my Facebook link for people to want to connect on Facebook. I'm going to have my Twitter thing there. You know, I'm not really that big in social media, but I'm learning every day to get better and better in it. And so if they just go to theclubrhino.com/MLMNation.html, or if they just go to your website and click on the link that you have there, it's going to take them to the same page, and that page is going to have, you know, okay, here's how to contact if you want to contact us, you know, email and all this other way. Everything's going to be on that page. I'm making a special page just for your audience.
Thank you. And then what's any last words of advice?
Yeah, so the last words of advice is I just want you all to know, you know, I think, Simon, what you're doing is really great as far as, you know, providing insights and information from other thought leaders out there for your audience to plug into. I think that's really great. For those of you who are listening to that type of information, I think it's one of the biggest things you can do is you always want to implant empowering insights and information in your consciousness. That is what's going to make the big difference, because you guys have all heard of, you know, being in the right place at the right time. Well, I can tell you that it's possible to be at the right place at the right time and still not make any money. Because if you don't have the right consciousness, you're not going to take the right actions to get the right results from being in the right place at the right time. So you got to be in the right place at the right time and have the right consciousness. And the way you get the right consciousness is by allowing yourself to continue to plug into insights and information from these different thought leaders that Simon is bringing to you and the information that he has to share and people like that. So keep doing what you guys are doing. Simon, congratulations on all the success and the things that you're doing, providing value for people. And until next time, everyone, keep charging and always remember to go, go, go.
Woo! ML Nation, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And today you've been hanging out with Jerry DeRhino Clark. So keep up the momentum. Go to MLMNation.net and type in Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, at the search bar. And the show notes, the special link that Jerry is going to make for us, will be right there. So in order to be successful in network marketing, you must help others. So, Jerry, thanks again for sharing your valuable time to help MLM Nation.
All right. Thanks, Simon. I appreciate it. Keep charging.
Jerry, MLM Nation is grateful to you, and we appreciate you for having a positive impact on millions of distributors worldwide and for inspiring us to go out there and go, go, go.
I love it.
Thanks for joining our show today again. If you like what you learned from Jerry DeRhino Clark, please let him know. You know, that was such an awesome show. It was, you know, very appreciative for Jerry for going long, too. You know, normally this is a little bit longer episode, but he just kept on, like he said, go, go, go. Kept on going and sharing. And the nuggets of info, wow. I mean, we can go on and on. Even while I was doing the interview, I was taking tons of notes and pages of notes here. And I love the fact he talked about, you know, the best advice he got about the three types of income. And I think that's something that a lot of leaders don't talk about, getting the portfolio income. But don't jump to that. You got to get the passive income first, build your business, and then save that money, put it into investments. And that's really how the rich get richer, taking money, making money. Another thing I loved about Jerry is sharing the million-dollar question about how, you know, he can go out there and find people and just build from scratch. And another thing is about the numbers. I think that was such an awesome analogy that his mentor taught him was the McDonald's, right? Like 80-something percent of people walk past McDonald's, don't go in there. And because McDonald's is a million-dollar business, and they realize that. And in my audio, I have a training called A Million-Dollar Business where it's basically the same thing. Every million-dollar business out there, they don't worry when someone walks past them. You know, like the big electronics store, Apple. Apple doesn't get worried when my grandfather walks past. There's no interest. You know, my grandfather, he's definitely has no idea how to use smartphones or computers. So he's not even interested. So Apple doesn't worry about that. Apple just worries about the few, the percentage. And then most of the people, think about it. They're using tablets or Android or Windows. They don't care about those people. They just care about the few people. So you got to go through the numbers. You know, there's so many nuggets of wisdom there. I just go back and listen to it and just love the storytelling ability, right? Have Jerry tell stories. Copy that. All great leaders tell great stories. And don't trick yourself by creating myth and illusions. Lie to yourself. And what I mean by that, the great story was how Jerry walked into a Stanford professor. Well, most people wouldn't have the guts to do that because you're not a student, or you think the professor will kick you out. But that's myth. Don't judge a prospect. Don't judge someone. Oh, that person's not interested. He's not interested to talk to me. You never know. There's no sign. Unless there's a sign that someone says no, don't prejudge. And, you know, Jerry had one of his biggest aha moments. If he had prejudged and thought that Stanford professor was only going to talk to Stanford students, he would have missed out one of the biggest aha moments in his life in the business. So that, I think, was one of the major takeaways, like the limiting beliefs, the negative self-talk we have. We have to be aware that a lot of things that we think they are, they're just myth and illusions, lies, and not the reality. So that's it. Again, that was one of the best shows I enjoyed doing. I had a ton of fun. And also because like Jerry helped me out when I first started to get my business going. If you like it, definitely go to mlmnation.net. Look for Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, in the show notes. And that special link that Jerry created will be right there. Click on it. And also the quotes, the books that he talked about will be there as well. And if you like these trainings, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. The reviews are extremely important. They give me ideas how to make the show better. So please subscribe, rate, and review. And the best compliment is if you like it, share it on social media, share it with others. Let others know. Even if it cross line, up lines, just share and do something good. Help inspire someone. Because I don't know if you're not inspired by that training we just had from Jerry Clark, I don't know where you are. So go share it with others, friends, family, upline, downlines, crosslines, prospects, and make someone's life better. So that's our show for today. This is Simon Chan. Thanks for being part of MLM Nation, and I'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for joining us today on MLM Nation. Head over to MLMNation.net for full recaps of every show, our training articles, and helpful resources. Your MLM success is waiting for you. So prepare to take off.